Welcome back to season 3 of Snubs and Dubs. We've been talking about the snubs and dubs of the 74th Academy Award for Best Picture. I'm your host, Kyle Tobiasen, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host in French, Jason Miller.
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Jason.
Yep.
Oui.
Baguette. That's my accent.
That's all pretty good.
Creme brulee?
Creme brulee. That's another big one. Between what we said there, that's a full sentence.
Yeah.
So we've qualified as a bilingual podcast. We're finally getting our Canadian credits in here. This is a big one for us.
Yes.
This is now the epitome of CanCon.
Yes.
Just a random amount of French thrown in as well.
Well, and we'll talk about this later, but there is a shot directly at a specific Canadian province in this movie, which I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But Jason, how you doing? How are things?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it's creeping up on the Christmas season.
Mm.
So that's been kind of overtaking my life with the Christmas shopping and decorating.
Yep.
My girlfriend and I bought a Christmas tree.
Awesome.
And we bought these little like what are they? Ornaments. That's what they're called. From Canadian Tire, where we bought our Christmas tree. And these ornaments came with the most little bullshit little strings that you need to tie around them to hang on the tree.
Right.
We tried for like in about a 12-minute effort, we got like 3 ornaments on the tree.
Damn.
So then we said, nah, screw this. And we went down to Dollarama and bought some hangers. So that was, that's been my Christmas experience so far. We tried to do some cute festive stuff and then bought other things that we didn't need to own and will only ever need to own for this Christmas tree that comes out once a year.
Perfect.
Because they gave us too small of strings.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. How you doing,
classic.
Kyle?
Good. I felt like super behind though. Like I am usually pretty on top of Christmas shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I think like I used to work in a mall and I think not being in that environment has removed me from the urgency because when you start to see all those people in the mall swarming around buying Christmas presents, you start to think, oh yeah, maybe I should do my own Christmas shopping.
And it's so convenient to shop on your lunch after work.
Exactly.
Easy street.
But now I'm just like, I avoid that place when I can.
Like the plague.
Yeah. And so now I just haven't done any really Christmas shopping.
Oh.
And so I have done some.
Okay. That's
good. I caught up a little bit, but there are still like a bit of holes missing. And I'm looking at the date. And I'm like, yeah, it's getting a little close there, but
yeah, still got some time.
A couple weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got like time off coming soon. So
yeah,
I can worry about in the time off time. Yeah. So, but did you watch anything in the last week? Any Christmassy stuff? Any getting into that mood yet? Or
no? I watched one movie and it was a Christmas movie, but that was all I watched.
Nice.
It was Christmas with the Cranks.
Oh, okay.
Jamie Lee Curtis stars in it.
Cool.
Yeah. It was interesting.
I don't know if I've ever seen Christmas with the Cranks.
No, this was apparently like a household Christmas movie for my girlfriend.
Right.
So when we're just like flipping through trying to find a Christmas movie to watch, we like went through the new releases on Netflix. We weren't like
one vibing. Yeah.
No, we weren't like blown away by that. So then we just started going through like stuff we wanted to watch. And then she mentioned Christmas with the Cranks. And my response is, what is that? that's not real.
Yeah.
But it exists. It's a Christmas movie. It's probably one of the top half of Christmas family movies.
Sure.
It's from like 2004.
Okay.
I don't imagine as much staying power, but it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I recognize the name. Like I have heard that name before. I just have never, I don't know what the movie's about. I don't know who's in it.
Tim Allen's the dad. Tim Allen is the dad. Dan Aykroyd's in this.
Okay. I think the poster or the DVD cover art is starting to form in my brain. I have seen images of this before, but yeah, I've never watched it. Is it worth watching?
Sure.
Sure.
It's not going to be a bad addition to a Christmas movie lineup, but it's not a must hit. But I'm still blown away that the parents are Jamie Lee Curtis and Tim Allen in this movie. That's such a strange combination. But it's not it's not bad. But that's all I've watched. So, what have you been watching?
Well, I also watched a Christmas movie completely on the opposite spectrum, though. I went and saw Violent Night.
Oh, how was it?
It's a fucking bop, dude. Like, it was so fun. It was very thin on plot.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. It's called Violent Night. You're not going in and being like, oh, I wonder what character development and new interesting plot points we're going to experience in this movie.
Like, it was a very classic Christmas plot interspersed between just the most violent and awesome kills that you could have David Harbour as Santa Claus do to these criminals, these heist people. But it is essentially just like Die Hard plus Home Alone. But with a Santa Claus protecting a rich family who are all awful from other people who are awful. So there's like one little girl that he's like pretty much doing the whole thing for, and she's like innocent and sweet, but her entire family is just awful people.
That's fun. I mean, yeah, that's silly. That's goofy. Yeah. That sounds like it could be a good time pretty easily.
And like the kills were so great. Like I saw this in a theater and I was alone at the time, but like even then I was like audibly being like, oh fuck, like Jesus.
Like what you wanted from the Halloween series. That
yes, literally. That is, that gave me the satisfaction that I want from a, like a movie like that.
Halloween? No, Christmas. Yeah. That's where we're getting the kills now.
Like David Harbour's Santa Claus is like drunk and just a run down guy, but he has like a history where he's like really good with a sledgehammer for some reason. Like he's, he had some sort of like warlord past or something. They do have some like history of him. He doesn't explain the magic, but you also get like all the Christmas type kills that you would want. Somebody getting their face shoved in with a star from a Christmas tree.
Good.
An icicle killing people. Ice skates.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I have to say, there was a scene that basically ripped off Home Alone, but it was like Home Alone, but not family friendly.
Yeah, like, but like an actual result of the violence that would have ensued from what happened.
And it was, oh, it was so good. I would watch it just for the kills. Like, I think I'll definitely watch it again.
You sold the shit out of this to me.
It's a lot of fun, but like the rest of it is kind of just thin. So like you kind of have to go and just like ready to not care too much about the whole plot and just like enjoy the killing.
But
and the
any times. Christmas movie, you're not expecting a good plot. So that's fine.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a big recommendation from me. So, but that was all I watched this week.
Nice. We got one big recommendation and one lukewarm one. We're on a roll this holiday season.
Well, other than that, we both watched a movie from 2001 because of course season 3 is covering the films from that year, and for episode 19 we are talking about Amelie. Had you heard of or seen of this before?
I've definitely heard of it, and I'm familiar with the poster because I remember seeing her smile and thinking that's a kind of a weird smile.
It is a little bit haunting and strange,
Which does not match the tone at all. It's not a haunting smile. That is a genuine ear-to-ear grin, even though it's a little off-putting.
Yeah, it is a little off-putting.
Yeah.
But,
have you?
I hadn't seen it before, but again, I had also heard of it. Do you want to get into it?
Let's just dive right in.
If you were interested in Amelie, I've included links to the physical media related to it in the show notes. If you can buy it, it's like fucking out of print. God damn, I looked up, because a little spoiler, I looked to purchase this after watching it online, and nope, it's too expensive right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they need to come out with a new release of it, because right now, it's a little expensive. But anyways, if you buy through that link, if you want to, it'll help out our show, or if you have any other Amazon shopping to do, maybe some Christmas shopping to do, follow a general link to help out our show in the process. A reminder that this is going to be a spoiler-filled conversation yet, so if you haven't seen Amelie yet and you want to, go ahead and do so. I've also included time codes in the show notes, so you can skip around to your heart's desire. But without further ado, let's get into it.
I'd like to start with an apology to the French. We are going to do our best to pronounce French names and words. However, we're bad at it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
We are Western Canadians.
This is Berta.
I'm pretty sure even the French Canadians pronounce these names wrong sometimes too.
Probably.
I think French people don't like French Canadians because they French is weird.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyways.
I mean, pick your reason to not like the French Canadians. Amelie is a 2001 French language romantic comedy film. This is directed by Jean-Pierre Jeunet. This was also written by Jean-Pierre Jeunet with Guillaume Laurent. This is starring Audrey Tautou as Amelie, Matteo Kassovitz as Nino Quicampois.
I did not even attempt that in my plot reading. Cool.
Rufus, just a mononym, gotta love that, as Raphael Poulin, Amelie's father, Yolanda Moreau as Madeleine Wallace, Dominique Pignon as Joseph, and Sergei Merlin as Dufayel. This has a runtime of 121 minutes and was released on November 2nd, 2001. So Kyle, what did you think of Amelie?
I fucking loved this movie.
It's delightful.
It is a warm fucking hug. It is a hot bowl of soup when you're sick. It is a hot chocolate when you've just come from shoveling. It is just like a warm blanket of a movie. It just made me so happy. But it's also like Wes Anderson, but French in a way too. It was just a great time. What did you feel about it?
I loved it. Yeah. I had such a fun time watching. It was like just come walking into a field and seeing like a herd of butterflies flying around in front of you for 2 hours. It was lovely. I enjoyed the whole ride too. It was a fun time.
I also appreciated how like sometimes unhinged it was.
Yeah.
Amelie is a weird person. Like,
she's fucked up.
She's like super sweet, but the way that she fucks with that grocer guy.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
There's something devious behind those eyes. She has a sweet exterior, but there's a predator inside who knows how to streamline the process of sending someone into a mental hospital. It's clinical what she could do. She's got to be some MK Ultra sleeper agent who's been trained in all the arts of spycraft and warfare without knowing it. And she was just like activated by seeing him be a jerk.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was a great time. And I honestly don't think that there's much more we can say before talking about the plot. So should I get right through the plot?
Dive right into that plot. All right,
so I'm going to read straight through the plot. If you don't need the refresher, you don't want to know, you can skip to the discussion by following the time codes in the show notes. But here's Amelie. Amelie Poulain is born in June 1974 and brought up by eccentric parents who, incorrectly believing she has a heart defect, decide to homeschool her. To cope with her loneliness, Amelie develops an active imagination and mischievous personality. When Amelie is six, her mother, Amanda Dine, is killed when a suicidal Canadian Quebecois, I should clarify, tourist jumps from the roof of the Notre Dame de Paris and lands on her. As a result, her father, Raphael, withdraws more and more from society. Amelie leaves home at the age of 18 and becomes a waitress at the Café des Two Moulins in Montmartre, which is staffed and frequented by a collection of eccentrics. She is single and lets her imagination roam freely, finding contentment in simple pleasures like dipping her hand in grain sacks, cracking creme brulee with a spoon, and skipping stones along the Canal Saint-Martin. On the 31st of August, 1997, startled by the news of the death of Diana, Princess of Wales, Amelie drops a plastic perfume stopper, which dislodges a wall tile and accidentally reveals an old metal box which contains childhood memorabilia hidden by a boy who lived in the apartment decades earlier. Amelie resolves to track down the boy and return the box to him. She promises herself that if it makes him happy, she will devote her life to bringing happiness to others. After asking the apartment's concierge and several other old tenants about the boy's identity, Amelie meets her reclusive neighbor, Raymond Dufayel, an artist with brittle bone disease who replicates Pierre-Auguste Renoir's 1881 painting, Luncheon of the Boating Party, every year. He recalls the boy's name as Bertadeau. Amelie finds the man, Dominique Bertadeau, and surreptitiously gives him the box. Moved to tears by the discovery and the memories it holds, Bertadeau resolves to reconcile with his estranged daughter and the grandson he has never met. Amelie happily embarks on her new mission. Amelie secretly executes complex schemes that positively affect the lives of those around her. She escorts a blind man to the metro station while giving him a rich description of the street scenes as she passes. She persuades her father to follow his dream of touring the world by stealing his garden gnome and having a flight attendant friend mail pictures of it posing with landmarks from around the world. She starts a romance between her hypochondriacal co-worker Georgette and Joseph, a patron of the cafe. She convinces Madeline Wallace, the concierge of the block of flats, that her husband, who abandoned her, had sent her a final conciliatory love letter just before his accidental death years before. She plays practical jokes on Collignon, the nasty growing grocer. Mentally exhausted, Collignon no longer abuses his meek but good-natured assistant Lucien. A delighted Lucien takes charge at the grocery stand. Mr. Dufayel, having observed Amelie, begins a conversation with her about his painting. Although he has copied the same Renoir painting 20 times, he has never quite captured the look of the girl drinking a glass of water. They discuss the meaning of this character, and over several conversations, Amelie begins projecting her loneliness onto the image. Dufayel recognizes this and uses the girl in the painting to push Amelie to examine her attraction to a quirky young man, Nino, who collects discarded photographs of strangers from passport photo booths. When Amelie bumps into Nino a second time, she realizes she's falling in love with him. He accidentally drops a photo album in the street, and Amelie retrieves it. Amelie plays a cat-and-mouse game with Nino around Paris before returning his treasured album anonymously. After arranging a meeting at the Two Moulins, Amelie panics and tries to deny her identity. Her co-worker, Gina, concerned for Amelie's well-being, screens Nino for her. Joseph's comment about this misleads Amelie to believe she has lost Nino to Gina. It takes Dufayel's insight to give her the courage to pursue Nino, resulting in a romantic night together and the beginning of a relationship. The film ends as Amelie experiences a moment of happiness she has found for herself. But that's Amelie.
Yeah.
So we both had bad experiences trying to watch this movie. Tell me a little bit about what your experience was like.
So I rented this on CineplexStore.com, throwing you under the bus. You know what you did. Because in my movie watching experience, when I got to there being like 20-ish minutes left, in the plot, the dude, whose name I forget, doesn't matter, the love interest of Amelie has come into
Nino,
the...
Yeah.
Nino, yeah, yeah. He has come into the cafe. He is drinking his coffee.
Yeah.
Amelie's behind him writing on a board.
Yeah.
He looks up. She starts writing like the soup of the day, whatever. Yeah. The soup du jour. And then she starts talking about, oh, in 10 seconds, he's going to like put his finger down. He's going to lick the sugar. And then it stops.
Oh, no.
And then it won't play. Ugh. And I restarted it.
Yeah.
I restarted the stream, restarted my computer.
Yeah.
I clicked around to try and get it to load. And I could only get it to reload after that scene in the diner. Oh.
That's
so
annoying.
Yeah. So when it goes to like, he has the note that he's writing to the other person working in the sex shop and he pulls it out of his pocket. I didn't know what the note was. So like, I didn't.
Yeah.
I missed part of the experience and I blame Cineplex for it. But it wasn't enough to request a refund because I rented it on like Scene Points. So it wasn't real world money. I'm not going to go through the process because I missed like a minute and a half.
So did you like happen to find out what happened in that little gap or do you need me to tell you what happened?
No, now? I don't know the exacts of what happened in that span.
So yeah, you weren't here for the plot reading, but essentially Amelie denies that it's her. Like he asks her if the picture is her because he has the picture of her from the photo booth and he can tell that it's her under her like like stuff. And so he was like, this is you. Like he like straight up says like, this is you. Like she's denying it. But he's like, no, that's you. And she was just like, no. And then she runs to the back. And then Gina, her friend, is like, okay, I see what's going on here. Let me like take some action. And so she writes the note and slips it into his pocket when she gets him his coffee and stuff. And so that's when he finds that afterwards. So, yeah. Oh,
man, that's important stuff.
It's a little important, yeah.
I thought she just stood him up and he left.
Yeah.
And it still worked with me thinking that's what happened.
Yeah.
But it is different knowing that he knows and then things spiral from there.
And it also adds to like big forehead man who ends up screwing up his relationship that Amelie sets up.
Yeah.
He also sees that Gina does this and is like, oh, so Gina's trying to like...
bag man.
Yeah, and try to get him instead of Amelie trying to get him, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It added a little bit in that 1 minute. But
it did. What was your experience?
Yeah, so I started by trying to rent this on Apple, as I usually do. And when I pressed play, at first, there was no subtitles. And I was like, okay.
Oh, no.
Maybe this will kind of kick into it a little bit. And maybe I'm just like not supposed to hear this. Like actually, it might be diegetic sound or something. I don't know. And so I waited. But then there was no subtitles when people started talking. So I was like, okay, maybe I just have them off.
Yeah.
And so I clicked them and I was like, okay, nope, they're on. It says auto. So I think it should, like, as an English language iTunes user, hypothetically, it should automatically. So, anyways, I continued. And the only other subtitle option was French. And I was like,
that doesn't help, actually.
It doesn't help. No,
that's no closer.
And so I was like, okay, maybe this is just on my TV. So I opened my iPad and opened the rental there to see if it had another option. Still no subtitles. What? And so I was like, well, what the fuck do I do now? Because I purchased this rental, but I'm not fucking French. Like, I'm sorry. I missed all that in years of school. Like I didn't do that. And so I guess I have to go to a different platform. And so then I had to go to Cineplex and rent it again.
Oh my God.
But I also used Scene Points. And so I did rent it for quote free.
Yeah.
And I had no problems on Cineplex other than it was a little bit lower quality than the one on Apple. But
I imagine like I knew this Cineplex store probably didn't have the highest quality. So even though it looked like not great, I assumed that was me and not it.
Yeah. No, yeah. It was the app, I think. I don't think they rented it in HD.
It just looked like low quality. Like the pixel count was bad. Like that's clearly not on the film.
But at least they had subtitles. So fuck iTunes and fuck Cineplex. All of you were bad.
Yeah.
Just like just give us this on. It was on a stream. I swear it was on a streamer before, but no, it's just not. I don't know.
It was on Disney Plus, but I think like only for the American or like some other place because it said that it was and I clicked on it and it wasn't. It's hard to watch Amelie. You can't even buy it. It's hard to watch.
It sucks.
Which is so stupid because this is a great movie.
Time. Yeah. Let's just talk about it now after we've passed our experience of the movie. So yeah, like I really like just the whole aesthetic of it. Yeah. I find the cinematography quite beautiful. I don't necessarily love the color grading. It is a little bit yellow green. Sometimes that feels a little bit off for what the vibe is. I think it could be a little bit more vibrant, but like, that's just on the aesthetic. The characters and the writing and all of this is just so fleshed out and fun and just happy. And like, it has like classic character arc moments where Amelie feels bad because of the misunderstanding with Nino and Gina and this, that, and the other thing. But like, all of her interactions with all of these other characters are just so fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
And they all kind of have a payoff in a sense, and they don't feel like asides, really.
No.
Like, because I guess that's part of the fun of this movie, is it's just Amelie in other people's life and how she can kind of affect them and change them, but also how they're changing her. And so it's just, it was just really fun to be there with all these characters. But yeah, what do you, anything to say?
I mean, I just have nothing bad to say about it. Like, yeah, I do agree that when they had that color over the whole thing,
yeah,
it didn't feel like it was well utilized all the time, and they could have broken it up, but that was the artistic choice they went with.
Yeah.
So I'm not even upset about that.
Yeah.
They went bold and quirky in so many different ways that, like, it's not even bad. Like, no. Everything was just so fun.
Totally.
So lighthearted. Mm-hmm. It was just, it's one of my favorite movies to watch, is just like, it's a movie that does have emotional highs and lows.
Yes.
But the whole time, it's just cute.
Yeah.
It's quaint. It's quirky. It's got this vibe that you're getting into. It's very unapologetically its own style.
Yes.
And you're either there for it or you're not. That's
totally
fine. But it is absolutely itself. It tells you who it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't ask. It says Amelie's weird, strange, shy kid. And you know what? By the end of this movie, you're going to love her for it.
Totally.
She's going to win your heart over no matter what you try and do.
And she really did for me. And like, I found I was actually emotional when Nino and Amelie are like, I mean, they kiss and stuff.
They smooch.
But like, that moment was just like so sweet and pure. And they're not like just instantly all over each other and like classic, like they lock eyes and then they immediately smooch. She's like deliberately kissing different parts of him.
Yeah.
And I just found that was, there was something beautiful about it, but also just super sweet. And then she does it to him, and you just know that they found their person.
I know.
And it's just, it was just really sweet.
Even in the awkward eyelid kiss that it didn't look like she meant to do, and then Nino kisses her eyelid back, and it's like, oh, they accept each other where they're at right now. That's beautiful.
It was great. A lot of the side characters are really interesting and fun. The paint guy sometimes seems a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of creepy in like how he was constantly watching Amelie.
Yeah. But at least she was watching him back.
True.
There was a tit for that tat.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked about this before, but the way that she fucks with the grocer is fucked up.
Clinical.
Like, she doesn't go in and like make big changes. She makes his shoes smaller.
Mm-hmm.
She changes the handle on his door so that when he tries to swipe it, because it was like one of a, like a horizontal handle, he doesn't swipe it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She switches the toothpaste with the footpaste. She changes the light bulbs in all of his lamps to be darker.
And then there's the follow-up of, she knows that she has ruined this guy's mental health so bad that he's going to call for help, and she's going to fuck that on him too.
Yeah.
That's not your mom. That's the psychological services. She's a monster under there. It's insane.
It really is. And it's so entertaining.
I know. He deserves every second of it. Really, it feels great. He's an asshole.
Because like, the guy who is like the sweet guy, the sweet quiet guy with one arm, who you, like, is like also helping the painting guy, like, you also just want him to be nice. I thought that that might be her love interest before like Nino came into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was just ended up being someone that she really wanted to help. And because you love him so much, because he's just like a genuine sweet guy, like, that you just hate the grocer more, and so you get behind this just chaotic shit, this psychopathic shit that Amelie is doing in this man's house. And like, she takes advantage of the opportunity that he left his keys in the door. Like, she doesn't just like return his keys. Well, she tries to.
She tries to.
And he's an asshole to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she then copies the key so she could continue to go into his. Fuck. Like,
it's beautiful.
It was awesome. Like, that is a pro revenge shit that you see on like Reddit and stuff.
But there's so many fun different side things. Like that really small arc with the concierge where her husband left her and died, and she thinks that he left her for another woman and doesn't love her. But then like, after they've embedded the news reports about finding this mail on a mountain throughout the movie, and then you find out that, oh, one of those letters is for her. Oh, it's her husband.
Yeah.
He still loved her all the way till he died.
Yeah. But then like, the fact that Amelie did that, and but then like when she tries to talk to Amelie about it later, it's at a moment where Amelie's like upset at Gina. So you don't really get like the wrap up of that storyline, which is kind of sad because like you can tell how much this like fake letter that Amelie made for her meant to her.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's also kind of like, is this right? But also it's like, this man's clearly dead or gone. He's dead and he's dead.
He's gone.
So like it is kind of giving her peace of mind so that maybe she can move on with her life.
Yeah.
But also it's a false truth.
But so, also it's like no harm, no foul. The guy doesn't exist anymore. It's not like he's going to be coming out like, actually, I don't love you.
Comes back just to rub it into
it. Actually, here's the side piece.
Yeah. I just like that there's like weird locations, like Nino works in a sex shop and a carnival.
Yeah, like, honestly, that's kind of cool that they have just like a good outlook on a sex shop worker. Yeah. Like it's not punched down humor that he works in a sex shop. It's not even portrayed in any way other than he works in a sex shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And he is a very helpful employee who covers him a lot, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. And they're just like comfortable with each other doing whatever. Yeah. And like that was, it was a bit strange sometimes. Like, I mean, not complaining, but like it does feel like the movie that wouldn't have explicit nudity and stuff.
Yeah. Cause it's so wholesome. Otherwise, you'd think that this could be almost an all ages movie.
Yeah.
But there be boobs everywhere.
They're doofy. Yeah. What were some of your favorite moments though from this? Because there's a lot of good little bits in there.
I mean, the obvious one is the conclusion when the two start kissing each other. It's adorable.
It's sweet. Yeah.
There's a lot of just random side things like the gnome traveling around that kind of made it. And when the dad started collecting the pictures and putting them on his board, that also made me really happy that he found some kind of happiness from this and it's breaking him out of his mold. Totally. That might have been one of my favorite like small things to happen.
Yeah.
How about you?
One of my favorite small things was when Amelie realizes that the repairman is the guy that is appearing in a bunch of photos, and she schedules a time to first break the photo booth and then get him to come out and then have Nino appear at that time so that he can also have that revelation and see him. So like, instead of just like meeting Nino, telling him what this was, she makes him have that discovery himself. Mm-hmm. And you can just tell by the look on his face that this was such a huge revelation for him. And he has like the same sort of enjoyment out of this realization that Amelie did. And then I love the scene. Like, you kind of hate Amelie for this. Like, you don't hate her, but you're just like, come on, get on. But when she has him follow the arrows, only to go to the top, look down at her, putting the thing in his bike and then disappearing.
Yeah.
Like, that is, again, just elaborate shit that she didn't need to do that. She could have just gone over herself.
But she's just so scared.
Yeah, but it was just a fun thing to watch because he's, like, so curious and interested about this person. And he's set on this, like, goose chase and then she evades him again. Like, I can imagine that'd be so frustrating, but it was so fun to watch.
And what I also love from that repairman thing is it gives you the feeling that these are two best friends who've created these inside jokes, these elaborate inside jokes that they have together, but they don't actually know each other. Yeah. That's just how in sync their minds are, that they've had these same, like, discovering this many pictures of him. They've created the same mystery in their mind, so they have the same enjoyment when it's solved.
Yeah.
It could have been that he didn't even put that together. Like, Nino never even realized there's that many pictures of this one guy, so it meant nothing. But the fact that he was having the same reaction means that he thinks the same way. They're meant for each other.
Yeah.
God damn it. Emily, just talk to him faster. I want that quicker.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier, I had to get back to this, but in the opening scene when they're talking about her childhood, they explicitly mention that a Quebecois person is the reason that Amelie's mother is dead. They don't say from Canada or anything, you know, blanket a country. They specifically say from Quebec.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is just like,
that has to be meaning something.
It has to be deliberate.
Yeah. It's clearly a shot.
Yeah. And also to add to their icks, I also don't like when random people touch my hands in public. So that's like, that's, I think those are reasonable ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also the feeling of putting your hand in a thing of grain, that's a vibe.
But I don't like buying grain that people have rubbed their hands all
over.
True,
but if it's your own grain.
But it's in the market. Why would it be there? They're not buying the whole thing.
Watch your grades, I guess.
Yes. I mean, still. It gave me a little bit of an ick.
I mean,
that'll be my intro.
Have you ever felt like Orbeez? Do you know what they are? They're like the little water beads.
Yeah, I think so.
Have you felt them? Have you put your hand in a glass of Orbeez?
No, I've never done that.
Fuck, man. That's
that must be amazing, though. That sounds unreal.
All right. What did other people think of Amelie?
That's a good question. At Rotten Tomatoes, the critics are giving this an 89 and the audience is a 95. They know where it's at. IMDb has an 8.3 and Metacritic a 69. So critics fell a little bit behind what this movie deserves, but that's okay because the people out there love it.
Mm-hmm.
They also loved it with their dollars, giving this $174 million at the box office on the budget of only $10 million.
Damn.
This was number 26 at the box office this year. This did gangbusters for an R-rated foreign film.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
Good for all of these.
Yeah.
This also has a different name. On both like the websites you seem to look up the budget, and it has another name for like the French release.
It
or
does
something
have
like
a
that.
Full French name. Amelie is such a simple title and it's nice, but then I think the French describes her more.
Yeah. I don't even remember what it is. Because Amelie is kind of a better name for it.
It's just a great name.
You need.
Simple.
But it's time for our scores, and Kyle, you're gonna start us off. We're gonna change the script. Kyle, I want your enjoyment.
I'm giving this a 5. I fucking loved it, dude. It was a great time. Good vibes all around. In terms of my enjoyment, I don't have anything bad to say. Nothing at all.
I'm going to give this a 4.5. It was pure, good, great vibes.
Yeah.
I felt like it was at 2 hours, maybe they stretched the enjoyment. Maybe they stretched it a little too long. Yeah. But like this was so cool. I just enjoyed it all anyways. Yeah. This was a very good movie and not like a perfect 5.
True. Okay.
What's your craft?
I guess a 4.5. Beautiful movie. Great to look at, except for that weird like green-yellow tinge again. The locations are great. They're like super full of life. Like they feel lived in and the costumes are great. I think it's just that sort of weird coloring that's kind of pulling me back a little bit from giving it a full score on craft.
Yeah, I had originally put a 4 for this, but I think I am also going to go 4.5.
Yeah.
The only thing that I got annoyed by was that green filter after a while kind of annoyed me.
True.
But otherwise, like, it has such a good artistic vision and it sticks to it so well.
Yeah.
So all 4.5. I think that's fair. Guy, what's your execution?
I get this a 4. I think overall it is very well written and the story is executed pretty well. Pacing sometimes a little bit dicey and it is a little bit too long. But overall, that's fine. And I think the actors are all really good as well.
Yeah.
Especially Audrey Tautou.
Tautou? Something like
Audrey
that.
Tautou? Yeah. She's great.
Yeah. I went 4 on this one. Now, it's tough to really gauge a lot of the acting when I spend so much time reading the subtitles.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, small inflection things aren't going to feel the same when it's in a different language. So I feel like it's going to be tough for this one to get a 5 because it's hard for me to get blown away when I have to read what they're saying. So I miss how they deliver it.
Mm.
But I feel like giving this a 4. So I'm going to give this a 4.
Yeah.
That's my vibe. And Kyle, what is your rewatchability?
I think this is also a 4. It's going to be really easy to rewatch. It is a very lovely movie to sit through. Am I going to be rushing out to do that? Maybe not. I feel like I can give a good amount of space between rewatches and that will kind of probably keep my enjoyment consistent. But yeah, I definitely will be returning to this. And that's why I wanted to buy it, because I wanted to have this in my collection on my shelf so I don't have to fucking rent a movie again without subtitles. I can own a disc that has subtitles.
Yeah. I'm giving this a 4. I will never turn this off if it's on.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's difficult to rewatch, and I don't trust the sites that it's on anymore. Yeah. And I feel like if you're not going to have a movie in good enough print that you could just get yourself a copy, then I am going to take marks off rewatchability for that, because as much as I want to, I might not be able to.
Yeah.
So that's a 4 for me.
Good.
All right, Kyle, that is going to bring you to a 17.5 out of 20 for an 88%. That is going to bring me to a 17 out of 20 for an 85%. Scooching on over to rankings, Kyle, right now you are Lord of the Rings, Donnie Darko, Memento, Royal Tenenbaum, Shrek, Training Day, Ocean's 11, Harry Potter, Sexy Beast, The Others, Black Hawk Down, Mulholland Drive, Hedwig, Spy Kids, Monsters Ball, Gosford Park, In the Bedroom, and Ghost World. Where is Amelie?
I had to think a lot about this because it was definitely in my top 5, but it was dancing around, especially the movie that it is kind of similar to, The Royal Tenenbaums, because of the sort of Wes Anderson flavor. But then when I looked what was above The Royal Tenenbaums, I actually think this was better than those two. two movies.
Ooh.
And so this is my new number two under The Lord of the Rings, but over Donnie Darko.
I mean, that makes sense. The scores that you gave it do reflect that.
Yeah.
I am going to be in a similar place to you. I think I'm going to put it just a scooch lower, though. Mm. I'm going to put this above Royal Tenenbaums and below Donnie Darko.
Yeah, I do think it lives in that sort of Royal Tenenbaums range. I'm also, every time I look at my rankings, I am considering the fact that Memento's probably a little too high and Royal Tenenbaums might not be high enough.
Mm-hmm.
But
that might be a shuffle.
And so like this feels like a strong number two, but the next two before I might change at the end of the year, which is not actually in that long. It's like seven episodes.
We're
like,
not that far
away.
We're
getting close.
You know what does not need a changing though? With Amelie making it into my top three, Ocean's 11 is now number 11. It's finally happened. Oh, it's in the right spot.
All right, give us your whole ranking.
All right, I have Lord of the Rings, Donnie Darko, Amelie, Royal Tenenbaums, Shrek, Training Day, Memento, The Others, Sexy Beast, Harry Potter, Ocean's 11, number 11, Black Hawk Down, In the Bedroom, Mulholland Drive, Hedwig, Spy Kids, Gosford Park, Ghost World, and Monsters Ball.
Nice.
We nailed
Hopefully
it.
Hopefully we can keep around there for a little while, but then I don't think we'll have a problem next week.
Oh, no.
But there's some other stuff down the pipeline that might push it off. So it would be cool if it finished at number 11, but then you wouldn't be able to add anything in that top 10. So
It's not going to happen. You have a better chance because you still got a couple spots between that and number 11.
I do. Yeah.
Well, do we want to look at some fun Letterboxd reviews?
Let's hear what the good people at Letterboxd thought about Amelie.
This has a 4.1 out of 5 on Letterboxd. The reviews were not great. A lot, and I don't blame people. A lot of it was just saying, like, I love this movie.
Yeah.
This makes me feel warm. It was like the comments were also like a warm hug. Like, it felt like a support group in there for people who just wanted to be some positive vibes.
Mm-hmm.
But I got two pretty good ones. So we're going to start off with Shay, 4 stars. She fucking looks like Willy Wonka.
She kind of does.
She kind of does. Next, we have V, 5 stars. The warmth in this movie could power 3 cities.
Honestly, true. True.
I know. You don't need anything to make it through winter if you just have Amelie that you can throw on.
Yeah. I'm imagining like, you know, the Spider-Man 2 meme where Dr. Octopus, you haven't seen fucking Spider-Man 2.
I might know the meme
anyways, where Dr. Octopus is like the power of the sun in the palm of my hand.
Nope.
Okay. Anyways, for the listeners at home that actually understand good memes, I'm picturing me holding the Amelie Blu-ray and saying the power of the sun in the palm of my hands. That's how I feel about this. Because the sun could probably power a few cities.
Is the guy's a fucking octopus? What? So that was kind of all I could find in the good reviews. So I thought, I'm curious, what does a bad review for Amelie look like?
Yeah.
And it looks like Enigs, 0.5 stars, 2 French. People who don't like it, that's going to be the reasoning coming at it.
I feel like this wasn't rude enough to be too French.
I know. This is going too easy on the French, honestly. This is maybe too nice of a showcase.
Mm.
All right, Academy Awards time.
Yes.
This is nominated for 5 Academy Awards.
Oh, damn. Oh,
do you think you know what they might be?
Well, I'm confident it was nominated at least for foreign language film.
You would be correct.
But there's 5?
Yes,
damn.
Sir.
Maybe something like production design, costume design, hair and makeup.
Well, none of those. This got Best Original Screenplay.
Damn, okay, I agree with that.
Best Art Direction.
Yes, good.
Best Cinematography.
Ooh, okay.
And Best Sound.
I guess.
I could see all those. Yeah. So nominated for those 5. It didn't win any.
Oh, okay.
But what beat it in Best Foreign Language Film?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well,
it's weird because I think I looked at what did win Best Foreign Language Film, but Amelie out-nominated it in every way. So it's weird.
Weird.
It might have been one of those scenarios where people thought it was the shoe-in, so they didn't nominate it. They supported their one that they thought that wouldn't get it because they wanted to maybe pick something different. But then Amelie was so strong that it was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, but still didn't win. I don't know. I might think about
that. That's a weird one. That's something to consider later. Other notable awards. This won 2 BAFTAs. The Best Original Screenplay and Best Production Design, being nominated for 6 BAFTAs total.
Damn.
This is also nominated for the Golden Globe for the Best Foreign Language Film. Also did not win that.
Interesting.
Yeah, so whatever beat this, I don't know why I didn't look it up.
Yeah.
As Steam.
It has some,
that's for sure. Any shockers within that?
No, not really. I'm surprised it didn't win any awards, but I'm going to have to look at that in scope after at the end of the year, because There might be something that I'm not thinking of right now that just had great cinematography as well, but mm-hmm. I just love the look of this movie and
me too.
The feels and the screenplay was great. So I don't know. It's holding strong for me.
Well, for some interesting facts, we're a little light in this section. A lot of the interesting facts were very obscure literary references that were in the movie and honestly, okay. not that entertaining.
Yeah.
But if you're really into that kind of stuff, I don't know. Go sure. nuts.
Go read it up.
Yeah. Go look at what short film was they used clips from in the openings. Like, I don't know. It was weird. But wherever this film was shot on location, Jean-Pierre Junot and the crew would clean the area of debris, grime, trash, and graffiti so that the real settings would match the fantastic nature of this film. This was especially difficult when it came time to shoot at the train station. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But also makes you realize, like, yeah, everything was very pristine. And they did a lot of shooting outside. So they just had the garbage crew come through every time.
Good. I mean, that's kind of like a positive thing for the city and for the look of this film, because you get to clean up the city, but also you make the film look a little bit better and you make your city look better through film.
And you're cleaning up at the box office. So you don't mind doing a little extra work. Audrey Tautou doesn't know how to skip stones, and the stone skipping scene was CGI'd.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say, doesn't know how to speak French. I don't know why that was like, I automatically finished your sentence in my head while you were saying it. And for some reason, I was like, how funny would it be if she didn't actually know how to speak French? She was just reading what was on the page.
And no, they CGI'd her French in afterwards. It was special effects.
That's funny.
That is. Also, I imagine you could have just got a double there. You never like really had like her face that close in while she was skipping stones, but whatever. Yeah. It's hard to get. I'm sure it's hard to get a good stone.
You could just learn. Is it that hard
to skip stones? It's not that hard. It's really not that hard to skip stones.
Especially when you had those nice stones. Like, she picked up some good stones for skipping. Yeah.
Whatever. And lastly, the part of Amelie was written specifically for Emily Watson. She wanted the part, but had to decline because she didn't speak French and had already agreed to be in Gosford Park. Also, I love writing a French-only film specifically for an actress who doesn't speak French. I don't know what they're really hoping for there, because like, unless you can achieve fluency fast, it's not going to work great.
Yeah, and also Audrey Tautou, it's like seems perfect. Like,
perfect.
That, I don't know. I couldn't imagine anyone else, especially couldn't imagine Emily Watson.
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird pick.
I know.
But okay.
I mean, I'm glad she was in Gosford Park for once. But that was all I had for interesting facts. If you want to know some obscure film stuff and works of art they're referencing, I guess you could go look at that, but I thought it was boring and for nerds, so I didn't. It's not here. Great.
Well, any final thoughts on Amelie?
I just like it. It makes me feel good, as a movie should.
It like kind of lives in the same spot of my brain does as Paddington does.
Yeah.
Because it does have that sort of warm, happy feeling that those type of movies can give you. And I feel like if you're feeling down, or even if you're just having a normal day, this movie can boost a mood.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Hands down, guaranteed. Stamp of approval. This is a mood boosting film easily. Well, I want to thank you all for listening to season 3, episode 19 of Snubs and Dubs. As always, you can find us everywhere on social media at Snubs and Dubs. That's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Letterboxd, etc. We're also on Goodpod, so make sure to check us out there and join our official Discord. We love to hear guys' thoughts on Amelie or on this episode, so please send us a tweet or a message with a question, recommendation, or anything else. I'm also at Kyle Tobiasen on Twitter, and Jason's at Wendy_Mills. Of course, all of those links will be in the show notes. Make sure to leave a 5-star review, share the show to everyone you know, and check back next week for another episode. Here's a sneak peek of the film we're going to talk about.
I believe you were expecting me.
Yes. Silly, think you would fall in love with someone like me.
I can't fall in love with anyone. I make men believe what they want to believe. Never knew
I could feel like this. I believe in truth, freedom, and above all things, love. Like I've never seen
the sky.
That's right. Next time, we're talking about a big pile of shit. I'm sorry. I mean, Moulin Rouge. So make sure to watch it before next episode. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Thanks for listening. That's a wrap. Bye.
Bye for now.